Hello, and welcome to the podcast series Ready, Set, Game, The Rhetoric of Games, a podcast created by Emory University students in David Morgan's Play, Make, Write, Think class.
Over the course of the series, we will approach games as operating within the larger media ecology and attempt to diagram the competing forces at work within that landscape.
In each episode, we will play and analyze a specific game with an eye toward its rhetorical situation and the role it plays within the broader medium.
We'll focus on the way these games encourage players to think in order to move through them and what sorts of decisions the games force us to make.
As we probe the underlying rules of game systems and speculate about what's going on underneath the hood, we'll ponder where they are taking us and to what ends.
How do these games encourage certain types of problem solving and learning? What sorts of values do they promote? What sorts of new perspectives do we gain in the playing?
So buckle up and come play with us.
Gods, goddesses, horrific beasts of legend all fight for conquest on a scale of epic proportions. You can join the fray as one of them on the battlefields of Smite.
Hello, I'm Rachel.
Hello, I'm Austin, and in this episode, we are going to be analyzing Smite and how mythological deities are portrayed in the game.
So Smite is a multiplayer online battle arena, more commonly referred to as a MOBA. Like other MOBAs, Smite's main map consists of three lanes with a jungle filled with monsters in between each. The goal of each team is to destroy the enemy turrets in the lane in order to invade their base and kill the Titan. What distinguishes Smite from other popular MOBAs, such as League of Legends or Dota, is that rather than playing as these random fantastical characters, you can take on roles of mythological deities across several cultures.
Yeah, this is what really drew me into Smite. At the time that Smite came out, I'd already been playing League of Legends for maybe about 2 years. But when I saw that you could take on the role of, say, Zeus or Poseidon, that really drew me in. I grew up reading Percy Jackson, so I already had a large interest in Greek mythology. And then I got introduced to more mythologies from new cultures. And soon I became enraptured in reading about the lore of all the different gods and goddesses. It seems like originally, Hi-Rez Studios, the developers of Smite, were dedicated to the accurate representation of the deities they used in their game. But over the years, Smite has become less distinguished with their playable characters representing these deities and looking more like the fantastical characters in the games that they had hoped to stand out from.
So it seemed as though Hi-Rez was more committed to this accurate portrayal of deities when they resisted backlash back in 2012 from Hindu religious leaders. Others complained of Hindu deities as well, specifically calling attention to the perceived sexualization of Kali, goddess of death, sexuality, and of course, motherly love.
See, Kali, in her original cultural context, was one of the most fearsome warriors in Hinduism. In her four arms, she held several weapons, and one of them even held a decapitated head. Her garb consisted of a garland of skulls, a skirt of amputated arms, and regal bracelets and a crown. However, it's important to note that she was bare-chested, as were many other Hindu goddesses. In the game Smite, they tried to keep to this depiction as much as possible. If you look at Kali in her original artwork, her chest is as bare as they can make it, hardly covering her nipples. They even have a belt of skulls lining her, and she's holding a decapitated head in one hand. Her abilities somewhat reflected her lore as well. Her ability Blood Siphon was a callback to her myth of origin, where she would lick up the blood of a demon to prevent him from spawning clones of himself.
But then Hi-Rez reworked Kali into this new character, stripping her of these critical aspects that were taken directly from her culture. Her clothing, in particular, was tamed from this gruesome and frightful portrayal. There were no decapitated heads or garland of skulls, and they were certainly less revealing. But before her character model was changed, they did the bare minimum to keep her breast covered. Now she's adorned in this regal armor that completely covers her chest and midriff. And then in terms of her abilities, they removed Siphon Blood from her ability set, and she became this generic assassin with just a leap, a sword throw, and a stun. None of which are specific to her origins.
Of course, Kali isn't the only deity that Smite has depicted with its own fictitious twist. We also see this inaccuracy in goddesses like Bastet, the Egyptian goddess of cats and protection, and Scylla, who is a horrific sea monster from Greek myth who could destroy entire boats with 1 pounce of its head. This is common among many, many other deities.
In Egyptian mythology, Bastet is typically depicted as this household cat or a woman's body with the head of a cat. With Smite's original release, Bastet took the form of a human with very feline features, the thinly slit eyes, pursed lips, and of course, the cat ears. But now, she's just simply this beautifully sexualized character with distinctive human features and then just some cat ears thrown onto her helmet.
And Scylla is similarly inaccurately portrayed. In Scylla's original myth in Greek mythology, she was this monstrous creature that resides in a cave with 6 dog heads protruding from her body. She can jump one of them out into the sea to completely wreck a ship and eat its sailors. However, in the game, Scylla is depicted as this cute little girl with a blue dress and red hair who has some dogs beneath her. Yes, there is an ability that she has where she, quote-unquote, transforms into her true form, and the dogs become more prevalent, but for the most part, she's depicted as a cute little girl. But don't just take our word for it. I interviewed a professor of classic myth at Emory University to discuss this further.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katrina Dixon, and I'm a senior lecturer in the Department of Classics.
So, the way that Scylla is represented in Smite is as this seemingly 8-year-old little girl with red hair wearing this beautiful blue skirt that just so happens to have these 4 hideous monstrous dogs beneath her. Comparing that to the Greek myth, how does that hold up?
Scylla is an interesting character from mythology because she's monstrous. We have descriptions of her, probably the earliest literature is Homer, where she's referred to in the Odyssey. And she's referred to as having something like 12 legs hanging down and 6 heads with long necks that she can reach out and snatch Odysseus's men off of his ship as he's passing by. But she's very much in those depictions an adult female, definitely not a little kid.
So the way that Bastet is depicted in Smite is this beautiful, almost sexy hybrid between feline and woman. With cat ears and a tail and these cat-looking eyes. Now, how does that compare to the way Bastet is seen in Egyptian mythology?
You would not, to my knowledge, see an image where you would have a human body that would have cat ears but a human face for Bastet, or human face, cat ears, feline eyes we could debate, because if you look at depictions of human women in ancient Egypt, the way that they draw the eye lines can sometimes sort of make them look feline, I guess, a little bit. But claws, tail with the human body, no, not so much.
On top of these inaccurate representations, Smite has started to incorporate new characters that are not of divine origins, such as King Arthur, Merlin, and even Mulan. Personally, I think Smite loses its niche in the MOBA industry when they start to introduce playable characters that are of less divine origins, or they move away from accurate portrayals of deities. However, there is still some reason to celebrate Smite. I think that as Smite targets broader audiences, new groups of people get interested in mythology and ancient culture.
Yes, even Dr. Dixon would agree with that. At the end of the interview, she wanted to make sure she set one thing straight.
For me, you know, always these kinds of portrayals are receptions. If I got really upset and tense about like how accurate they were to the originals or something, I would probably lose my mind. So but really for people like me who are interested in mythology, both ancient and modern, and sort of how our reception of that has changed and how it's come down to us, it really is interesting. Why did they do these things? Why did they make Scylla this young girl? Why do they choose to do this hybrid form of Bastet? And I think that those are interesting questions, you know.
So we've clearly established that these playable characters don't quite match up to the ancient cultures they're taken from. But in the end, like, why does that matter? After all, it's just a game. What is lost when there isn't cultural accuracy?
So for me personally, as the player, what really drew me into the game, as I said before, was the idea of playing these deities. And as I played Smite, it felt even more grand when I saw the way that they had interwoven these different cultures and gods and goddesses together. But as they've also released characters like Merlin and Mulan that are more fantastical than they are divine, it just feels like, what's the point? You know, they've lost their niche that they try to carve out from themselves. They're not as distinguishable from the other mobiles as they had once been. Without this distinguishability, it just feels like I'm playing another MOBA. If I don't feel like I'm getting the same experience that I had when I first began to play, then when I get on my computer to log on to play a game, why wouldn't I just play League of Legends instead? And that will conclude today's episode of Ready, Set, Game. We'd like to give a special thank you to Dr. Katrina Dixon for sitting down and talking to us today. And a thank you to Zamira Martin, our line producer. And thank you for listening.